You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stadium, 50,000.
And we're live!
It's live!
We should keep that in.
We should.
Okay, now do your proper intro.
Are we keeping that in?
Yeah, we're keeping that in.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. It is live-ish in some kind of way.
You did say you wanted a new intro bit, well, so there you go.
Look, I just want to say that I'm back now, and there's no messing about.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm back by unpopular demand.
Don't know, I think Jack Holland is firmly breathing down your neck.
I think Jack Holland is certainly a lot more popular than me, but do you know what? Look, I'm here, and I very much enjoyed watching... the bits you did last week, Josh. I thought it came out very, very nicely.
Thank you. How was your holiday, mate?
My holiday was very nice, thank you. The Isle of Wight is lovely. And it kind of feels like you're abroad, even though you're not. Because you have to cross the Solent, don't you, on the ferry.
You do,
so
yeah.
It was good fun, thank you. I very much enjoyed it.
What's the other thing that you can get from... It's Portsmouth, isn't it?
We went from Portsmouth. But you can...
Is it like... I'll What is it called? The boat, you know, that
inflates. Oh, the hovercraft.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that. No. I couldn't fit my car on it. So, yeah, if you're driving, you need to go on the ferry. If you're a foot passenger, you can go on the hovercraft. Apparently, that takes about half the time that the ferry does.
Anyway.
But anyway, enough about my escapades and what I was up to last week. Welcome back to Ravens Weekly for this week's episode. Thank you so much to the amazing Jack Holland for stepping in last week. And I'm sorry to disappoint everyone, but I am back. And get used to it. That's all I'm saying.
We want Jack.
You can go as well. It's been a very, very busy, a couple of weeks, I guess, as I was catching up on everything while I was away and then when I got back as well. But in the podcast last week, you hinted at a new signing, didn't you? And that was very swiftly followed by a new signing.
Oh, it's as if I saw into the future.
And that new signing was kind of in a way a re-signing because it was, of course, a man who has been here before in the sense of Tate Campbell. Tate joined us on loan from Birmingham back in what was Andy's first, or one of Andy's first signings here at Hayes Lane. He certainly had an impact towards the end of that season in what was a period that propelled Bromley into the playoffs for the first time in the National League. And ultimately it ended in eliminator defeat, 3-2 at Hartlepool United. But Tate Campbell was a considerable part of that. He scored a really important goal away to Notts County. And I know you showed that in the teaser, Josh, for that one. And it's brilliant to have Tate back here. You had the pleasure of catching up with him, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And here is what Tate had to say.
Tate Campbell, firstly, welcome back to Bromley FC. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it feels really good to be back here a couple of years ago. Done well, so looking forward to getting back playing and getting with the lads and the gaffer and pushing for a positive season.
And when you were here before, it was a bit of a weird season because it was during COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But how would you describe that time before?
Yeah, I came in quite late, to be fair, but, you know, it was a good group at the time and a lot of the lads are still here now. We stuck together and we made playoffs for the first time in the club's history, so looking for success like that again and hopefully a couple of steps further and push for promotion.
And during that season, you scored away at Notts County. That was your first professional goal. Yeah. Sum that up for us.
Yeah, it was a big moment. You know, it would have been nice to have fans there, but obviously circumstances didn't allow it. But yeah, it was a good goal, good moment for me. And hopefully, again, more the same.
And you made a couple of senior appearances at Birmingham. How's life going over there?
Yeah, you know, I've got a good group over there. Positive change now. Pushing for, like, better things than before, but... I just thought to myself, I have to come out and play some games. You know, I can't just knock about and hope for my chances now. You know, it's time to get out and play, and this is the perfect place for me to come and show what I can do. So, yeah, all the best for them this season. But for me, I'm here, and I'm, you know, focused on this success.
And you're highly rated here. How is your relationship with Andy Woodman and the coaches?
It's amazing. That's the main reason I'm here, to be fair. You know, gave me a text a couple of weeks ago saying, like, what are you feeling? And I said, you know, I want to come down, but I just need to buy my time. But, you know, I'm here now and looking to, you know, make that relationship blossom and all the coaching staff, all the coaches, all the behind the scenes stuff, you know, got a good relationship with them, so hopefully, you know, we'll have a good season together.
You obviously have played with a couple of players that we've got in our squad at the minute, including Michael Cheap, Billy Bingham. How excited are you to be linking up with those players again?
Yeah, really excited. When I come here, I was a bit younger, 18 at the time. Both those two, as well as the others, you know, looked after me when I came down. So, you know, thankful for that. And then hopefully again, we can build a nice relationship playing this year and go into positive things.
And you mentioned before about scoring, but it wasn't in front of the fans, so... Yeah. How excited are you to be back out there, but this time in front of supporters?
Yeah, it was definitely a shame, you know, last time, big moment for me, and then it was a big moment for us, as, like in the season, you know, equaliser got us into the playoffs, but yeah, with the fans this time, hopefully I can show what I can do in person and give them a feel-good factor, you know, when they come down to Hayes Lane.
Brilliant. Well, welcome back, Tate.
Thank you for that.
Brilliant to have Tate back. Great interview as well, Josh. And of course, Tate was joined by somebody who you were able to discuss on the podcast last week, that being Chin Akoli, who skippered Millwall in their pre-season fixture here at Hayes Lane before turning out for Bromley against Dartford as a trialist and then turning out for Bromley the following Saturday.
And skippering us.
And skippering in the absence of Byron Webster against Crawley Town. So a busy...
Skippering doesn't sound right.
It doesn't, but I think we're going to say that
it's better
a word.
Than captaining.
Yeah, I think skippering's got a nice flow to it, hasn't it?
It does, yeah.
Captaining is definitely a word. But yeah, anyway, Chin Akoli, been thoroughly impressed with him so far. And he will see if he starts away at Halifax this coming Saturday. I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see it. But I think just as a reflection on all the new players that have come in so far, I think, Josh, looking at those pre-season games, that everybody's fit in quite nicely. Everyone seems to have adapted well to their roles.
Yeah, true. I think they've all looked good at some part over pre-season. Can't really complain.
It's a grueling campaign, isn't it, this pre-season schedule? We know Andy Woodman pulls no punches in pre-season.
And it's been a unique one.
It has been unique.
Six home games.
We talked to Andy about that, and you'll hear that later in this podcast. Six home games, which I think it must be a new record, or a modern record, as we like to call it. I wonder if anyone's going to correct me on that, but six home games, it's quite a lot. And of course, the frequency and the duration and the intensity of the training sessions, you've seen it, Josh, have been a lot more than normal, because this is the period where you need to get up to the level of fitness and then it's about maintaining it.
Yeah, well, I think Jack spoke about that last week, about the fitness levels, and I think it was the fittest that he's ever seen the lads. And I remember one particular training session when they were... Last summer, I think it was their first training session back. So obviously it was going to be a light one, but it was very light. And then this summer was complete opposite. It was as if it was the week after Chesterfield.
From minute one.
Yeah.
From
Whereas
minute one.
Last summer, I think they eased into it a little bit. But this one, they've just gone straight from
I
straight
think
from
you
go.
Can tell. I think you can tell as well. I think we were fitter at this stage than we did last year.
No, I do.
You know, 100%. In terms of match fitness, injuries aside, which is something different.
Even in the open training session as well. That was before we even played a game. I think supporters would have seen at that point that we looked fit.
Well, potential further new signings to come over the coming days and weeks. And of course, we'll keep you updated on anything that happens with regards to that. Now, I returned from my holiday on the Friday, and on the Saturday, I was back for the fixture against Crawley Town. And Josh, I think that was quite a realistic test and a very good test for what Bromley are going to face in the National League. Crawley came with a very strong team, lots of seasoned Football League players in there as well. And I think it's fair to say that if Crawley play the way they did for the League Two season, they won't face the struggles that they did last year. They've recruited very well in the summer, and their recruitment included one Harry Forster. Now, a lot of Bromley supporters were disappointed he wasn't in the squad, but of course he was here. I believe he went on a Nando's date with Byron Webster the night before. He was at Hayes Lane chatting to everyone. It was nice to see him, wasn't it? And there were some nice pictures of him chatting to Andy Woodman as well. But Harry, Josh, a player that is very fondly remembered, not only for what he offered on the pitch and the ability and the skill that he had, but the person he was off the pitch.
Yeah, I think we spoke about it before. He's a top guy, but... You know, unfortunately, he didn't play on Saturday, but wish him well for the upcoming season. But yeah, just moving on to the game, and it was a good test. I think when the fixtures were announced, that was probably the one that I was personally looking forward to the most, just because, you know, you can test yourself against Premier League under-21s or, you know, the division below. But I think coming up against EFL opposition, that's a realistic way to sort of, you know, determine where we are at that point of pre-season. So that was probably our, you know, best test of the whole schedule, I think.
I think you're right there, Josh. And each game had its own individual set of challenges and its own individual style of play in terms of the opposition. Of course, you know, having a vast amount of trialists doesn't help, you know, when you're playing opposition teams that have a lot of trialists. However, I feel like it's been a good pre-season for Bromley. I feel like the management team and the players and all of us have learnt a lot on and off the pitch, and we can take that into the season ahead. Now, in terms of the actual game itself, Bromley went a goal down inside the first half. It was then made 2-0 in the second half by Danilo Orsi, the former National League prolific goal scorer that he was at this level. And then Bromley Bromley pulled one back through Bez Topolodge. And it's not often you see one indirect free kick in a game, let alone two, Josh. Both teams having an indirect free kick during the match on Saturday, and Bromley finding a route back into the game through theirs.
Yeah, it was a weird one. And actually, I was in the gantry, so I was just above the dugout. And I think it was Dunny. He shouted at Bez just before they took that free kick. So I think credit to Dunny there for that goal. And I think he probably saw what was coming, but he showered at Bez, got him into the right position. And then, I mean, there's only a certain amount of positions you can be in at that point, but at least he was aware that the ball was going to come to him and he just fired it. Obviously, a bit of a deflection as well, but yeah, good goal.
Fizzed it in, didn't he? It was a very well struck effort. It was a defeat for Bromley on the afternoon, but I think positives for Andy and the team to look at. And like you say, a really good test that, and a team that will do better than last season in League Two, and we wish them all the very best. Now, on the same day, Bromley under-21s and all the talents that are in that team travelled or made the short journey to face Chatham Town and their first team, and they lost out by 2-0 at the Beauville Stadium. But it was a fantastic experience again for these young players to be coming up against very experienced professionals, you know, the likes of Danny Kedwell playing for Chatham Town and so on and so forth. And again, a great experience for them, both in terms of their learning and development and actually their physicality and really testing themselves. There's a lot of talent in that rank, Josh.
Yeah, I think one good thing about this pre-season is the fact that we've put a firm focus on, you know, the under-18s, the under-21s, getting that vital experience to go into the new season, so they're not playing sort of, you know, under-23s that are sort of the division below, division above. And it was good for, obviously, most of those players to come up against Dulwich Hamlet. That was a similar sort of test to the Chatham game. So they're coming up against, you know, senior players in that one as well. Coming up against Palace on Tuesday night, and obviously a good chunk of them featuring for the first team over the course of pre-season. So the more they get used to playing against, you know, older men, will no doubt just, you know, boost their confidence going into the new season.
You referred to the Palace game there. We'll talk more about that in a few moments' time. But just before that, the women's team were playing on Sunday, the 30th of July at Hayes Lane on the stadium pitch, of course, taking on Sutton United, who are in a higher division, and Bromley lost out by 2-0, which was the score at half-time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they managed to concede no further goals in the second half, unfortunately weren't able to score any. But still very much a process of this women's team being built throughout this pre-season period. New players coming in, some players leaving from previously. So again, it's exactly the same principle for the women's team, isn't it? But to come up against a team like Sutton, who are very well established and a very good team in a higher division, it's not a bad result, really.
Yeah, I know. Dave pointed, he was pleased with the result and the performance. Like, you can't complain. Sutton are a better team in that women's pyramid. So yeah, he can't really complain with that. And obviously they've been away for a while too, so they're just, you know, in that regrouping process, sort of getting back to it, getting used to these home games. these home games again and, you know, getting ready for the new season, because I know that they'll be looking at promotion.
Absolutely.
I know that's their target. They've had a couple of promotions in the last three seasons, and obviously last season, their first one in the division, getting used to, you know, playing against higher opposition, they did well. So this time they'll be looking at doing even better.
Well, the attitude in the women's team is again, just like the DNA here at the football club. They finished well last season and had a good season on all accounts, their first season at that level. And they were disappointed with that. They wanted more. So the hunger is certainly there for them to build on that and further that this season. And we wish all the team and, of course, the management staff, including Steve Payne and Dave Poynting, all the very best for the season ahead.
And they're at home on Sunday, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're at home, kick off 2 o'clock, I believe.
Yep.
So
free entry.
Come on down and support them. They are going to be a force to be reckoned with at that level this season. I just know it. And very best of luck to all of them. We look forward to catching up with their results throughout the season. Moving on then to the match you referred to a moment ago, Josh, the Crystal Palace fixture. And of course, it's a great pleasure to have Crystal Palace come down and play us here at Hayes Lane. And it's kind of been part of the furniture for a lot of our pre-season campaigns. And they sent down, Josh, a very, very strong under 21 side. There were some great players in that team.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you know, it's no surprise that Palace have got a good, you know, setup of young players. And that shows with, you know, the obvious one being Wilfried Zaha. He's come up through their under 21, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, sorry, I was unsure on that one.
That's all right.
But, yeah, so you've got him. I think, was it Eze as well? I think
potentially, yeah. Well, his brother was playing.
He was,
in the match. And there's rumours going around that Eze was here himself.
Oh,
I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I remember watching him for Wickham. He was good.
I thought they were on tour in America, but apparently a number of people have said that he was here.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, interesting.
And the Jazuran Raksaki.
He's
come up through Palace's system as well. Obviously had a good loan spell at Charlton last year. So, you know, being tested against those players, considering most of our players were under 23s.
Yeah.
It just shows that our youngsters aren't that far off from the likes of Palace.
We'll come on to that in a minute. But even the goalkeeper, Joe Whitworth, had played in two Premier League games for the Crystal Palace first team. Pulled off a brilliant save, by the way, to deny George Alexander what would have been the opening goal.
Sol's penalty.
Yeah, saving Sol's penalty as well. You're absolutely right. And if that Alexander goal had gone in, who knows, the game could have gone a bit differently. But it wasn't about the result, as we always say about pre-season fixtures. I think a lot of fans would have come and maybe been a bit disappointed that there weren't many first-team players in the squad. I mean, the bench was entirely Bromley under-21s. And the starting lineup, we had three or four senior players in there. It's good to see Teddy Sharman Lowe return from injury, a couple of others as well. Three trialists as well, and the rest were under-21. So it was by no means a first-team that was fielded on the night. Of course, Andy, we'll talk about that later on in this interview, but you've got to have an eye on Halifax, and with the injuries that we've suffered in this pre-season schedule so far, you just can't afford to make that any worse.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a similar sort of schedule to everyone else in the league, but I think Tuesday night was quite quiet for teams in our league. So, yeah, I think having a friendly so close to Saturday, it's better to just, you know, have those intense training sessions where you can sort of manage that situation, whereas when you're out on the pitch, you know, and obviously it proved to be a bit of a feisty one as well. So you don't want things like that going into the new season. And with other clubs in our league not having a friendly on that Tuesday night as well, it just keeps us, you know, fitness wise on sort of the right track.
Well, it was a slightly feisty encounter, shall we say, as well. We'll talk more about the young players in a minute, but just obviously to cover it, there were two red cards and a few yellow cards as well for both teams. Sam Woods and Danny Imray being sent off for a scuffle, which, of course, it's controversial, red
to be
cards
fair,
coming
though,
out
Matt,
in pre-season games.
I know people were complaining about the refs, but surely the referee needs his last game as well before the season. So maybe as clubs use that last pre-season friendly to, you know, sort of shape their final team and, you know, sort of treat it as the first league game, maybe you know, maybe the officials are doing that.
It's all about, you know, getting to fitness and getting to grips with everything. It's the same for us off the
pitch,
isn't
it? And speaking about the officials, must shout out Ian Bentley. That was good touch. Ian Bentley. Did you see his touch?
His touch?
Yeah.
Well, just the fact that Ian Bentley was here in himself is an honour.
But did you see it? The ball went...
But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
The ball, I don't know who cleared it, floated up into the air, and he touched it down perfectly.
Just effortlessly.
Yeah.
I want to see the film. Well, big up Ian Bentley. And
it wouldn't be a Bromley pre-season.
It wouldn't be a Bromley pre-season without Ian Bentley. It's just been...
He's here all the time.
Something that's happened for the past God knows how many years. And he is something of a legend in these parts for his contribution to Bromley pre-season games. And he doesn't like being shouted out on the PA, which is why I do it. but anyway, enough about the officials. There were two red cards, which was controversial. A lot of people not agreeing with the fact that red cards are used in friendlies. But anyway, it is what it is. It's happened now. And that kind of affected the rest of the game, didn't it, Josh? Because Danny Imre was impressing for Palace. And Sam Woods was, of course, skipper in Bromley and was the leader in that team. So it did kind of have an impact on the game, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And I think, you know, it turns a friendly a little bit unfriendly.
A little bit sour, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So.
And in the end, Palace took the lead with, in the first minute of stoppage time at the end of that first half, which was, I felt, a bit unfair on Bromley in terms of the passages of play that were being seen. And actually, the momentum of the game was in Bromley's favour at the time. And then Caleb Kapoha cut into the box and curled one past Teddy Sharman low. And there wasn't really anything Teddy could have done about that. It was a really well-struck effort. Another one followed by Jack Wales-Morrison in the second half, crashing one off the post, just like Josh has just crashed off the microphone there, for anyone who just had a little jolt
there. Headphones.
And then there was a penalty for Bromley, which was taken by Solcada. And as you mentioned earlier, Josh, Joe Whitworth pulled off a good save for that. It was disappointing not to get a goal. And then Palace had a penalty of their own, which Wales Morrison scored for his second of the game. And I don't feel like it was a 3-0 match, really. And there were a lot of changes made towards the end, a lot of even younger players coming on for Bromley, which you've just got to look at the fact that it's great experience for these players and playing in front of over 2,000 people too.
Yeah, true. It was a good turnout. And obviously Andy Woodman was in the dugout as well. I know Jamel and Steve sort of took the team, but... Yeah, it was good to see Andy in the dugout because that gives those youngsters an extra boost that they are being watched and watched very closely as well. So, yeah, but like you said, 3-0 probably flattered them a little bit. Obviously, it's not about the result, but I think if Sol had tucked away his penalty, maybe it would have been different.
Moving on then, and we have our new squad numbers confirmed, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if I can remember them without looking at anything.
I think right.
Should I try this?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So
you don't have to go through the whole squad, by the way, Matt.
You are my witness. Can I go up to 30? I can rattle through them.
Oh yeah.
I'm confident I can do this.
Can you do it in your Hayes Lane announcing voice?
Can you vouch for me here in the sense that I've put down my script, which doesn't have these on it anyway, and it's not script, it's running order. Yeah. There is nothing in this room that indicates any of the squad numbers.
No.
I'm going to try and go through them. Should I do this?
Hang on.
Do you believe I can do this?
No.
Josh doesn't believe.
I think you're going to trip up at some point.
The reason I'm doing this is to prove Josh wrong. Is to
hang on.
For want of a better word, stuff the haters. Josh is just getting the checklist up on his phone to make sure I'm going to get this right. Or otherwise. Are we ready?
I mean, number one's pretty 50-50, isn't it? So, all right, go on.
Are we ready to go?
Go.
Number one, Grant Smith. Number two, Callum Reynolds.
You can skip this bit, by the way. It'll last about 2 minutes.
Number four, Billy Bingham. Number five, Cole Pekawa. Number six, Sam Woods. Number seven, Josh Pasley. Nine, Michael Cheek. 10, Adam Marriott. 11, Louis Dennis. 14, Mitchell Bergkamp. 16, Chin Okoli. 17, and your skipper, Byron Webster. 18, Corey Whiteley. 20, Jude Arthurs. 21, James Vennings. 22, George Alexander. You're looking at me like I've missed one. 23, Bezart Topolodge. 24, Marcus Sablier. 27, Tate Campbell. 28, Ben Crowhouse. And 30, Teddy Sharman Lowe. Have I missed anyone?
Yeah.
Who have I missed?
Six.
I said Sam Woods.
No, I mean six players.
I told you I was going up to 30.
Oh, yeah, true.
I did say I was going up to 30. So that, yeah, I think, it. Is mission succeeded. Do I get a jingle thing
no.
for this?
No. No? No. You just owe everyone that sat through that. You just owe them their time back.
If I knew how to use your little jingle system, I'd play one for myself. That's how proud
it's,
I am.
It's just one of those buttons, Matt.
It's, well, just I'm guess. Seeing various names come up on them, and I'm
it's
not,
guesswork.
I'm not going to, I don't think I'm going to press any of them.
Okay.
But I just, maybe I'll just, you know, maybe I'll just do that. I think that was decent. Yeah. Decent. Anyway, that wasn't scripted. We weren't prepared to do that. I just thought, you know.
No, we were just going to summarise it.
Let's give it a go. But there, look, you've got it in detail
there
now.
There you go.
You've got it in detail. And you did ask for it in the authentic voice.
Okay, now so. Let's do last season. So we can compare.
Maybe we should just do a squad number special. And,
do you know what? I think certain football supporters would be into that.
There are squad number...
like Twitter accounts.
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
As well.
I get messages from them yeah. sometimes asking me to confirm squad numbers.
Yeah, I do.
Which is always interesting. And I think they have archives from across all different pyramids of the of football, of levels of football where squad numbers are assigned to players and aren't changed every week. So, yeah. Anyway, that's our little squad number anorak session over.
But one thing to mention, Ben Crowhouse has changed squad.
He has, and he's now gone to 28, which I mentioned a moment ago, from 32, which he was last year. There's your comparison, Josh. In the the meaning of that is that he is now no longer a first-year professional, and he is now a fully-fledged member of the first team. I think, just to add to our discussion here, Josh, I think he's looked fantastic in pre-season.
Yeah, and I think Andy said it in his interview as well, I think it was Jack last week, but so's Marcus. I think Ben and Marcus have looked really good. And
I really have.
We were waiting to do an interview earlier and we were watching the lads practice their shooting and we were saying about the power that Ben's got behind his shooting is brilliant. And I think he doesn't really do that so much in games, but he's got a bullet of a right foot.
Absolutely.
Don't tell me he's left-footed. And I've just messed that up.
I'll have to come back to you on that one.
Okay.
Wasn't prepared for that one. But anyway, exciting
whichever
time
foot it was.
Exciting times to have for these young players. It was. I can definitely vouch for that. Anyway, moving on, there is a special offer in our exec club, which is a fantastic experience. And if you haven't experienced it yet, you really have got to. It's a very different way to take in a match day, but you get a lot for your money. And it's a fantastic atmosphere. Obviously, you sit in the stand as well. You sit in the upstairs venue bar. It's just a brilliant experience for you and your family or you and your friends. And there is an offer going on for all of our first three league fixtures, which are, of course, Barnet on Saturday, the 12th of August, 5:30 kickoff, Wealdstone on Tuesday, the 15th of August, 7:45 kickoff, and Southend United on Monday, the 28th of August. That is also a 3:00 kickoff. Adults £40 per person and children £20 each. For that, you get a 2-course pre-match meal, half-time refreshments, exclusive interviews brought directly to you, a weighted bar service, reserved seating in the John Fiorini stand, as I've mentioned, along with complimentary parking, a free matchday magazine, and there is a dedicated kids menu for those under the age of 15. To find out more about that, you can visit our website, bromleyfc.co.uk, or you can email our head of hospitality, Lucy, via lucy@bromleyfc.co.uk, and that's Lucy with a Y. Do take advantage of that offer. It's a fantastic one, and I might see you up there if you do.
Mm.
Pop in myself occasionally to say a few words. But anyway, moving on from that one, it's Community Corner.
Yay.
Jingle, where is it? We're really scraping the barrel here. And I'm not talking about us two. Here we go. Insert some kind of noise here. I'm taking notes, Josh, on how you're using this. So then if I do need to applaud myself again, I can do it with one of the sound effects rather than clapping myself. There we go. Lovely, lovely. Community Corner is back. And today we had the pleasure of hosting our soccer camp. And we've been hosting that now for the past almost 2 weeks. We're on week two now. We've got a five-week program here. Space is still available for the latter weeks, which are towards the end of this month. The camp has been extremely popular, and this week has all sold out, and next week is very close to selling out as well. So if you are interested in your child joining us for our summer soccer camp, it runs from 9 till 3 in the afternoon, and places are £25 each. You can book bromleyfc.org. And we had three very special visitors go up to the soccer camp today in the form of Chinna Coley, Callum Reynolds and Ben Crowhouse. And they engaged with the children, had a little chat with everybody. It's always brilliant to see the kids' faces when the first team professional players go up to see them. And I think that's really quite a unique thing that we have going on here. There'll be some pictures going out with those on, which Josh very kindly took.
Yeah, already out there.
This guy's very good. We laugh and we joke, but this guy is very, very good. But a huge thank you to the players who have given up their time. And also, in the community sense, we had our wonderful Ravens chat here again today, as they do on a weekly basis. And the focus today, Josh, was all about the legend, the one and only, Mr. Barry Evans. Because 2 weeks from today, he is moving to Cornwall. And I know we've said goodbye to Barry at one of the fixtures. I think it was Chesterfield fixture towards the end of last season. His move was delayed due to reasons out of his control. And so we're very happy he's still around with us because we love Barry and he's an absolute top gentleman. And I'm sure all of you who know Barry will agree with that. He's going to come on the podcast next week, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So we're going to have Barry here and we're going to hear about all of his 70 plus years supporting Bromley Football Club. But we had a brunch today for Barry and he will be present at the Barnet game. Before moving away the following week, and he'll be coming back periodically, which he's promised to do. He's still got his season ticket, bless him, and he'll be coming to games as and when he can. But, of course, normally he'd be here every week, which obviously will not be possible now due to where he's going to live. But we wish Barry all the very best with his move. It was wonderful, and I felt quite privileged to be invited to be part of Barry's special morning. We had a lovely brunch in the venue bar, which was provided by our excellent chefs. The food was fantastic. The company was even better. And it was lovely to just get together and celebrate Barry and all of his years supporting the club. His wife was there and they had a little dance to their favourite, their first ever song that they danced together to, actually, in the venue suite, which was quite an emotional moment for all of us in there, actually, seeing the two of them together doing that. And the chairman recorded a lovely message for Barry and the chairman really appreciates Barry's support. And
he wanted to be there, didn't he? But
yes, unfortunately, he wasn't able to be. But he recorded a lovely message for Barry. Barry was quite teared up and quite emotional watching that video message. So, yeah, all that's left to say really is we look forward to having Barry on the podcast next week. And what a gentleman he is. And we really will miss him. But each time we know he's coming up, we'll look forward to seeing him and look forward to welcoming him into Hayes Lane and making him feel a little bit special. So Barry, thank you for everything and thank you for just being you, really, because you're an absolute top gentleman. And we've got another one of those up next on the podcast. It's the one, the only, Roy Oliver. Here's Roy Remembers. It's that time again. It's Roy Remembers, and I'm honoured, as always, to be joined by the legendary Roy Oliver. Roy, we're going to talk a little bit about the season ahead in a moment, but first of all, you look like you've got some interesting stuff, as you always do for us today. As I always say, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Matt. Today's Roy Remembers is about our first ever tour, which was Guernsey in 1904. And they went for 4 days. They went on a Thursday. And they left Waterloo Station at 9:50. They got down to Southampton, where they picked up a steamer called the Frederica, and it was a very choppy sea going over to Guernsey. All the players were remarkable. A couple of them were quite sick as well on the journey over. Anyway, we went over there and we paid. And this whole trip cost £2.14.
That's one heck of a deal.
Yeah, £2.14 and 6 pence.
Wow.
For the whole trip. So, I mean, that wouldn't get, what would it get you these days? 3 Mars bars?
Well, maybe, or maybe, you know, a tenth of a tank of petrol.
Yeah. So they played 4 matches over there. So they, the first game was they played a selected team from Guernsey and they drew 1-1 and it was at the cycling club. Then next day they played a really powerful team called the 2nd Leicestershire Regiment and they beat them 2-0. And that was meant to be their strongest game over there. They then went on to North Guernsey and lost 3-1. And that was at Delaney Park. And they went back to the cycling ground and played Dorset County and they drew 1-1. But they had a very good time over there. They were very well treated over there by the local people. Went on a sightseeing tour of Guernsey as well. But they very much enjoyed it.
What an experience for the players, eh?
Yeah, £2.14 and 6.
Can't get over it. That's excellent value, isn't it?
That
is brilliant, Roy. And it's just the records that you've got here are incredible. How do you find this stuff?
In local papers, you know. That's not the one.
We're just looking through Roy's archives here to try and find the piece of evidence here that.
Yeah, Bromley Football Club first to the Channel Islands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
We've got a few more tours. We've got one in 1910 as well.
Wow.
So there's a few more to go through.
Nearly 120 years ago.
I know, yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And as I said, a few of the players were a bit sick on the journey over there. And
I can imagine.
It doesn't say where the supporters went with, but I imagine some supporters did go with them.
Well, it may have been a cheap journey, but I'm sure it was. It wasn't so much of a smooth one, possibly.
No, the journey back apparently was nice and smooth coming back to Southampton.
That's good.
But it was very choppy going out there.
Well, having just been on a modern ferry, I can only appreciate how that must have been. Roy, on Roy Remembers, we like to get your take on what's going on with the first team at the moment and in the present. We talk about the past a lot in this segment, but let's talk about the present as well.
Yeah.
You've seen all of our pre-season friendlies. What's your take on it so far? How do you assess that pre-season period?
Well, I always look at friendlies is getting players fitted up, getting them fit for the season. That's also a big priority. But also find that if there's any players like academy players who maybe want to step up and players trialists as well. And I think we've captured a couple of good trialists in this pre-season, which is good. Like, it fills a couple of gaps.
And Roy, it all starts again this Saturday, away to Halifax. The league campaign is back upon us and it's come round very quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a real sense of excitement for this season.
I think there always is, yeah. The first game of the season, you want to start off on the right foot. So if you can get a good result in the first game, you know, hopefully win, but at the least come away with a point, and that leaves you in good stead when you play at home. Because I think if you start the season well, you can get on a bit of a momentum. The opposite, if you get a few defeats, and I think we've got a couple of injuries, I think, in the squad. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Roy, it's always great to hear from you, and I will be travelling up alongside you on Saturday. Yeah. Very much looking forward to it. And here's to a good season for Andy and the team.
Amen. Good. Yeah, brilliant.
Thanks again, Roy.
Yeah. You're welcome, Matt. You're welcome.
We are now joined by Women and Girls Development Officer at the Bromley FC Community Sports Trust, Andrea Elias. Welcome back, Andrea.
Thanks, Matt.
We'll talk a bit more about your podcast adventures in a moment as well. But first and foremost, we're a bit jealous of you at the moment because you're about to go on an amazing break. Part of why we're jealous is because you're going to be seeing the Lionesses.
I am. I'm not told a lot of people. Only joking. I think the whole of the Bromley know.
They do now.
I'm going off Friday, tomorrow, to go to Australia to go and watch the Lionesses with my daughter, who plays at the academy here. So it's It's kind of a busman's holiday, I guess. We've got tickets for the next, well, all the tickets are for all the games that England hopefully are going to be in all the way through to the final. So the round of 16, quarterfinal, semi-final and then final.
And you're going to be our special correspondent over there, aren't you? You're going to give us updates on how it's all going. Very, very jealous. It's been a good tournament so far, hasn't it? There was a lot of noise around the lack of goals that England was scoring early on, but what a way to go and put it right with that 6-1 win over China.
Amazing. I mean, I always say in Serena we trust. Obviously, everyone knows that Kira Walsh was injured for that game, so they obviously had to change their formation, which I think probably threw China off, so they maybe weren't that prepared for our change in formation. We went with three at the back that time rather than four as we had been playing. So great to get some goals, get some confidence going. I'm really pleased that we've got more than just one player on the score sheet and more than just a penalty. So really chuffed and hoping that Monday's game, which is in Brisbane, 8:30 in the morning, British time, is going to be... You know, it's going to be a hard game because I'm kind of imagining everyone predicted that we'd either be playing Australia or Canada. But as you said, the way the World Cup is going, it's, yeah, anyone. It's really, really open. I mean, I think USA were very close to being eliminated. Portugal, if they hadn't hit the post, then they'd be out. And we've seen so many...
Brazil.
I know, Brazil are out. Yeah, that's unreal. I mean, Colombia obviously knocked Germany out today. So it's really, really open. I mean, Morocco got through to the last 16. It's unbelievable. And it kind of gets back to this point as well, because I was talking to someone else about it. I'm obviously aware that Benzina, who plays for Morocco, is a Muslim and wears a hijab. And that's the first time we've had a woman wearing a hijab in a World Cup tournament. So, I mean, what kind of role model is that? It's absolutely amazing. So I'm sure there are many girls in a similar position to Benzina who love football, and they can now actually see that their dream can come true.
Well, I was just going to come on to that, actually. All of this ties in very nicely with the work that we, and you in particular, are doing here to inspire these young girls. And it's a real time of excitement for these young people and the women that play here as well in our football club and in our community provisions. And you started off the England women's campaign with a big football day, which took place on the very first England game against Haiti, where we had an amazing number of our community participants here, all to celebrate that, as well as a brilliant girls' session out on the stadium pitch.
Yeah, it was really good to see everyone. So big football day was obviously designed to get as many people as possible from our community, as many girls and women down to Bromley to take part in free football. So we have free football sessions for girls aged 4 to 11, our Wildcats. So we had over 50 girls out on the pitch, all led by females coaches, which was great to see as well. And some of our volunteering pre-coaches, I guess you could call them, from the academy. So really, really great to see that. Great, lovely team of girls there. And again, as you say, you know, it's good to have those role models. And then afterwards, we went into Broomfield, and I mean, there were lots of families. It was a great atmosphere. We had some people from our walking football, some Bromley Bells, our recreational session, attending as well. People colouring in flags of England, waving their flags, tattoos and face paint all over the place. So it was really great to see it. I mean, it was a bit of a damp squid, the game, but I think it was great for everyone to come together and support and, as we say, have that kind of role model in front of those girls there that they can see the Lionesses. And as we know now, obviously we've scored a few more goals now, so I think we'll all be feeling a little bit happier.
I was going to say the atmosphere was anything but downstairs. It was wonderful to see it here and be a part of that as well. And just moving on, we were able to showcase this with a brilliant interview with yourself, which is on YouTube. If anyone's interested, take a look at that. And we've got our own, as well as having Community Corner on Ravens Weekly, we've now got our own community podcast hosted by yourself and Alex Caroma. How did you find the first episode?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Really, really good. I mean, anyone that knows me knows I like talking, so I haven't got a problem doing that. So, yeah, Community Matters podcast. We had our introductory one last week, and that tells you everything about what's going on in the community. Everyone who knows Alex as well knows he's a big part of the community. He's always out visiting schools and looking after all our participants and making sure everything runs smoothly this end, because it's a big operation. So it was really great for us to actually sit down and be able to reflect on all the things that we have and all the things that we're delivering on, and how that makes a big impact to you know, those families that we work with.
And I was just talking earlier on about our summer soccer camps that we've got going on here, as well as the mixed version. We have a girls camp as well, which is running on Mondays and Wednesdays throughout the summer holidays. And that's been it's been great, and especially timed with the Women's World Cup too.
Yeah, brilliant. On a Monday and Wednesday. I mean, we had a sellout this week. So again, really fantastic to get all those girls in. And it's just about offering them a choice. So if they want to go and play in the mixed camp, that's great. But if that had sometimes maybe put other girls off playing football or starting to play football, then the girls' camp is there. Again, led by female coaches that have got experience, that run all of our community provisions here, all our female ones. So really, really exciting to see so many girls talking. And they're all talking about England and what's going to happen next and their predictions. So yeah, brilliant.
Well, it is really, really brilliant to see, and a credit to the work going on behind the scenes. Andrea, we look forward to, you're going to be providing us with updates, aren't you, for this podcast?
Yeah, I'm going to be sending some updates from Sydney and Brisbane, hopefully more than just one.
Hopefully not 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'll just put my phone on silent.
I'm sure you'll be missing me, so you'll be quite glad to hear me.
Of course we will.
Of course you will. But yeah, I'll be reporting back on how it's all going, and really interestingly, actually, I'm going to go and actually see a provision out there that works with girls that's part of a University of Newcastle project. So I'm actually going to go and visit a girls' session in Sydney. So I'm really excited to do that and share, you know, learn some things and share some good practice with them as well.
Absolutely brilliant, Andrea. Thanks for your time, and have a lovely time, and come on England.
Thank you.
Well, brilliant to hear from Andrea there, and certainly we are very much capitalising on the buzz of the Women's World Cup, and we hope that England have a successful remainder of the tournament, and we'll be keeping you updated with how Andrea gets on down under in the next couple of weeks. Now, moving back on to Bromley matters, and of course the trip to Halifax this coming Saturday, the 5th of August. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock, and if you can't make the game, we'll be providing live commentary on Bromley FC Live via Mixlr. Just check out our socials for the link on that one on the day of the game. But Josh, it's always a tough place to go, and sometimes quite literally, because we get there and the game gets called off. But obviously, that aside, Halifax are a strong team, and the Shay is not a nice place to have to go and win a game of football. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. They're a very good team.
Yeah, it's a tough place to go, like you said. And obviously they put up a fight last year when we went, and obviously the year before was a very tough one. We lost 1-0, didn't we? It was one to forget, but yeah, last season they looked good. So
it was a good point that for us last year. Good point. I think it was at the third time of asking that game, which is disappointing, you know, and especially we got there for one of them, 2:15, gets called off. 10 hours of wasted travel is very frustrating.
And we were all happy to have it first game of this season, but yes, it's been raining all week as well.
Yes, so. Well, I have spoken to Halifax and currently everything is okay. So we will, of course, update anyone as early as we can if anything happens. So. But yes, at the moment, it's all systems go. I think actually their weather's a bit better than ours at the minute. It was a flash flood down here yesterday, and Tony at Halifax said it was blue skies up there. So that's good news. But of course, it is a pitch which is used by a rugby team. However, it's pristine at the moment. So we're hoping we will see a good game of football that isn't interrupted by, you know, patches of mud or whatever. But Halifax have got a really good squad, pitch and stadium and everything else aside. Like you said, they made it really hard for us last year. They took the lead in the first half through Rob Harker, who the former Burnley forward who really impressed me on that night. And Michael Cheek equalised fairly late on in that one to salvage a point. And that was a great reward for the fantastic travelling support on the evening. And I've no doubt there'll be more brilliant travelling support this Saturday. And I just want to wish all the travelling supporters all the very best. It's going to be a long season, but let's hope it's a good one. And of course, it will be a tough match. Halifax played on Tuesday, as did we, but did very much the similar thing to what we did in terms of playing a lot of trialists. I think 7 of their starting 11 were trialists, or potentially 7 in the squad. Either way, lots of trialists, similar to us. So lots of first-team players being rested for that one. So let's see how it goes. I'm really looking forward to it, Josh, and I'm sure the same for you.
yeah, I'm just happy to not be watching Tri-List on Saturday.
I'm happy to not have to announce 35 changes every game where the squad numbers are incorrect and we don't know which players who, and then random other players turn up from... Anyway, enough of my rant.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe how quick it's come round.
Competitive football's back.
I know we had an extended season again, but even so...
Competitive football is back. Let's go get it. Good luck to the team. And I really can't wait to be there. I'm really excited about this one. And then, of course, the following week after that, Saturday the 12th of August, we return to Hayes Lane as we take on Barnet. That one is a 5:30 kickoff because it is being shown live on TNT Sports, formerly known as BT Sport. And, of course, that is very, very exciting. But ahead of all of that, we had to catch up with the main man, the manager himself. Here's Andy Woodman.
Andy Woodman, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Pleasure.
The pre-season schedule is now complete. All the pre-season fixtures have been played. I just wanted to start with a little overview, but it all really started, you had your behind closed doors game, but that night at Dulwich, and a common theme throughout this pre-season for yourself has been the involvement of these young players. And was it that night that it hit home how good some of them were, maybe that weren't on the radar before?
Yeah, I think that put them on the map for sure. And the fact that they could cope with men's football, you know, albeit, you know, it was Dulwich and it was a midweek game and it wasn't like, really something on it. But yeah, they adapted and committed themselves and showed me that, you know, they're willing to step up. And it's something I've done since I've been here, really. I can't believe it hasn't been done before. But I think pre-season's a great exercise to see what you've got coming up through the ranks. So I've always done it, you know. I've never been any different in doing that each pre-season. And it's good, you know, we get to see them, don't we? And the fans like it, I like it. And we've had a couple of little nuggets out of it over the last few years. So hopefully that can continue.
And like you say, they went toe-to-toe with the men's team, but also Jamel made it very clear that before the game, the importance of the trophy and the importance of the person the trophy represented in Glyn Beverley was it really hit home with these young boys.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't fortunate enough to meet Glyn, but I've heard nothing but fantastic stories and comments about him. So I feel like, if nothing else, we need to make sure that trophy means something. And the history behind Glyn is more than something. So, you know, we want to win trophies. I mean, I think that's the nature we're in. We want to get in the habit of winning. You know, the London Cup, I think we're in this year. We're going to try and win that. I have to be saying, you know, in the past, I might have been a bit guilty of, you know, concentrating on other things. But let's just try everything, you know, win everything that's in front of us. And the boys really took that on board and took the importance of the Glyn Beverley Cup, and you know, let's keep that of high importance, almost like our charity shield sort of tournament before the season starts for the youngsters.
And carrying on in that theme of pre-season, we talked about it just before, there's 6 home games, which I think for us must be a new record. Yeah. It's been a very busy schedule. How would you summarise it?
Tiring. For what I've done a season already. Yeah, I mean, it probably was maybe one game too many, and maybe I've learnt a little bit from it myself. But that said, you know, it gives us an opportunity to play the youngsters in the games. Like, you know, the other night against Crystal Palace, I wasn't going to risk anybody. And I was a little bit nervy of putting these young boys in because, you know, this was another test for them. And they done fantastic, regardless of the result. I thought they'd done really well against a good under-23/21 side of Palace. But it has been a long pre-season. They always are. They get no easier. Now we're down to the real business of the season starting Saturday, which is what we're all excited about.
And of course, one of the main aims of pre-season is to get the players, particularly the new ones, to settle in and for everybody to get fit. How would you assess that so far?
Yeah, that hasn't really gone according to plan like I'd like it, to be honest. Obviously, the players have got to know each other, which is nice. We've picked up one or two injuries, which is a little disappointing. But look, we won't be the only clubs that picked up one or two injuries. They're nothing major. That's probably just more aggravating, really, most of them. So it'll be the same at other clubs. And I think if you do come for a pre-season without any injuries, you kind of have maybe questioned them whether you've pushed them hard enough. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a good pre-season. The lads are all tight group, and the team spirit seems good at the moment.
And one of the main difficulties in pre-season for a commentator is the amount of trialists that are involved. And Maidstone bringing 11 trialists were on their team sheet. You haven't had many this year at all, but you talked about this on Tuesday. The calibre of those that have come in has been a real step up on previous years.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen a couple of faces out there today. You just mentioned one of them. We've tried to... Maybe in the past, I've probably been a bit guilty of really wanting to give every person a chance, and I want people to get a career out of football. You can't physically do that. So I've been real selective about who we've brought into our club and who we've given game time to, and making sure that they're not just using them for making up a squad. There's a possibility we might keep them. So we've had a real good look at them, and there's some still hanging about and we're having discussions. Some we've had and they've gone somewhere else and maybe found something else. But I think it's important, and I think we haven't overdosed on trialists, because then it can water down all the work you do with your own squad. So I think we've balanced that really well.
And just talking of that Palace game, you touched on it before. Very similar thing for the last pre-season game that we had in the first, away at Dulwich. The young players stepping in, and let's be honest, against one of the best under-21s teams in the country, and actually, for huge parts of that game, not looking out of place.
Exactly that. I thought they'd done brilliant. I thought, credit to Crystal Palace. They brought a really good, decent side down on the back of a trip they just had. And our boys, you know, I've got to be honest, I wasn't fearing them playing in the game. I was more fearing that it didn't go well for them, you know, and because that can happen. You know, you can get turned over by these teams. They're good teams. So that was my little bit of worry for these young boys. Not that they wouldn't do well, but actually they would be on the wrong end of a result that might knock one or two of their confidences. But it didn't work out like that. They went out there, they didn't show them too much respect in the means of, like, sometimes you can play in those games and just sit off and be a bit in awe. You know, a lot of these boys would have played in a crowd like that. It's only, you know, 2,500, was it, or 2,000? That's big numbers for these young kids. So, and I thought they stepped up and dealt with really well. And it was only, you know, a couple of really fantastic finishes that really sort of separated us, and then obviously the penalty. But, you know, I thought it was good value. And I think there was more positives out of that game than probably I anticipated and probably expected.
The supporters have definitely got value for money in terms of all those pre-season games. But you can genuinely feel in the fan base the excitement building ahead of the start of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've noticed a real swing in how people are talking, feeling, and engaging with me. You know, not just with everyone else, but certainly with me. There's been a real nice engagement with everybody. I had a lovely gentleman come up to me in the bar the other night. He's a Tottenham season ticket holder, which we won't hold against him. But he's bought a season ticket for here. He likes what we've done last year. He likes the way the club's run. He likes the way he has access to me and my players. And I get, you know, at the highest end, that sort of drifted out a little bit. But, you know, that's what we're about. We're going to make sure we're accessible to people, and good, bad or indifferent, you know, we're going to speak to people. You know, we want to make it a community club and somewhere where people want to come with their children, their families. So I've noticed a real swing in that, and there's a big optimism around the place, which always comes with a little bit of pressure, but we have to just keep pushing on from what we've always done.
Just linking back into talking about the young players, as we were a moment ago, some news has broken this week, which I guess is real testament to the academy coaching staff at this club, your own coaching staff and your own setup as well. Kellen Fisher, who was brought into Norwich City primarily to play in the under-21s team, has been allocated a first-team squad number and has travelled to Austria with the first-team squad. And David Wagner, the manager as well, has been publicly applauding Kellen, which is fantastic for him and speaks volumes of the work that everybody on your side has put into it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, I have to be honest. Anyone that would have seen Kellen last year or has worked with Kellen, myself, my staff, the academy staff, this boy's got it all, and I won't be surprised if we see him in a Premiership in the future. He's got it all, and I'm glad for Kellum. You know, it's always nice that a young player goes on. It's nice that he's getting the plaudits he probably deserves, which he'd have done pre-season. And the beauty of Kellum is it won't go to his head, or he won't get carried away with it. It'll probably drive him more. So that's nice. It's a proud moment. You know, I've got a few of those young players over my career, not just here, but of Arsenal and other clubs that I'm immensely proud of. And that's something I really sort of pride myself on, is making sure that I get all these boys' careers and they go on to have good careers and enjoy their livelihood.
Pre-season is well and truly over now, and we're now in the lead up.
Thank God.
We're now in the lead up to the first game. Nothing like a nice long trip to kick the season off away to Halifax. How's the boys been this week, and how have preparations gone?
Well, first and foremost, we heard there was a bit of rain up in Manchester, so we thought it might be waterlogged. We're not sure definitely if it's going to be on yet, because you know what it's like up there. All joking aside, I'm happy we've got Halifax, because you know, we've gone up to Halifax, I think, the last 2 or 3 years. I think the last 3 years since I've been here. And it's always been, like, wet, muddy pitch, because they played a rugby on there. We've had 2 games called off, I believe, out of the 3 I've been involved in. So I was sooner there, because I've always felt that's a hindrance then, when you have to go back up midweek away from home to one of these places. Altrincham was another one. That is, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do that. And it's not necessarily that game that it affects you. It's the Saturday after that you have the effect. So people might look at those 2 games I've mentioned and sort of gone, well, you drew at Halifax, so how's that affecting you? You won at Altrincham, that's great, but it's normally the other games it catches up when you're travelling, the extra journeys. So I'm happy we've got that, and I'm looking forward to going up there. Yeah, it'd be a good game for us to start with.
Well, it's come around so quick. Andy, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, as always. I look forward to seeing our supporters on the road, as always. And hopefully we can give you a really, you know, big season to be proud of again.
We'll catch up with you after that one. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to Andy for that. It's always brilliant to sit down and catch up with him. He offers such a great insight, and he's always very, very honest as well in what he says and what he delivers. So big thank you to Andy for your time once again. We'll be there backing you, and I know the fans will be as well. And of course, just touching on that Barnet game, which I spoke about just before that interview, tickets are now available for that one. You can head to bromleyfc.co.uk to purchase them, or you can pop into the club shop between the hours of 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock on weekdays to purchase those tickets as well. Josh, the season is upon us. Next time we're recording Ravens Weekly, the first competitive fixture will have been and gone.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a player with us.
Yes.
Because this week's been a bit of a quiet one. It's not gone completely to plan.
It has.
But hopefully next week.
But there is a lot of preparation going on behind the scenes from the team.
So. Especially for next week's episode. So
absolutely. So we will let you know who that is, but it's going to be a good one. And yeah, who knows, we might have some more squad news for you. Can't guarantee that one. It's not in our control. But I'm sure Andy
and
is.
And other club news as well.
Yes, big other club news, which is good.
Yeah, which will be revealed on the podcast
next week. Thank you, Josh, for joining me. Thank you to everyone for listening. It's been a pleasure as always. Good to be back. I'm not sure you'll feel the same, but here we go. Anyway, let's roll on the National League season. Up the Brom. Let's go do this, everyone. See you soon. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.